Welcome, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe around them. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Ty. Welcome to Cult Talks Conspiracy.
Before we unseal this file, we wanted to fill you in on some really exciting news.
For as little as $3 a month, you can be a part of our pursuit to hashtag question everything by clicking the support the show link found in the show notes of each episode.
Your support would mean the absolute world to us and help us dive deeper into the mind-blowing conspiracies you, Ty, and I all love.
Thank you for joining us, seeking the truth, and as always, question everything.
You're listening to a Cult Talk Network podcast.
File access granted.
Welcome, all you believers, skeptics, idealists, and all those questioning the world around them. I'm Ty.
I'm Bailey.
And this is Cult Talk Conspiracy. File 009, our first episode back from Christmas.
I know. Have you taken down your Christmas decorations yet?
No.
No.
I think it's done for a while. Yeah. I like having that tree up too much.
Yeah.
It'll be up to at least like this about halfway through January. I'd say I'll pull it down finally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like having my Christmas decorations up too much.
I don't know. I take down like the Christmassy stuff and leave up the wintry stuff mostly.
Okay.
So it's honestly my excuse for being lazy and doing it in like quarters as the season goes on.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, not yet though. Not yet. Not 1 week after Christmas. It's still up. I'm still partying, kind of. Not really.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah.
And we hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. And most more importantly, enjoyed our Christmas special we dropped for everybody last Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah. That was really fun to do. Are we talking about the gift exchange?
Or that too, but I'm talking about the Cult Talk Conspiracy one. But yeah, we dropped a lot of stuff last week, actually, for the Cult Talk Net. A very Cult Talk Christmas, as we call it.
Yes.
So we dropped a lot of special content for that one. But yeah, last week we decided to try something a little special with the Santa Claus encounters. And that was a pretty cool episode to do. Very different.
Yeah, it was something that I'd never really thought of. And I definitely think Santa Claus is a cryptid. Prove me wrong. I dare you. Prove me wrong. But today, we're here talking about Project Bluebeam, which I'm really excited about because I've
come across
in my research before about Project Bluebeam just here and there. So I'm excited to hear what you've brought to us today.
Yeah, Project Bluebeam is something I've heard mention of here and there. Never really looked into it until now. I just knew, you know, it's the holiday season. I know this deals with a lot of like biblical stuff. And I thought, well, what better time to do it than Christmas? Because, you know, it's Christmas. So Christ Mass. So I figured might as well do it. Do this here because it'd be a fun way to kind of cap off the year. And it's a wild conspiracy. It really is. It's pretty unique. And I kind of took a little different approach to it. I wanted to really dive into like the origins of it a little more. Before we got into the actual conspiracy, but it's got some really crazy stuff and some really interesting ideas and like some controversial stuff in it as well.
I love it. It's
spicy. Which I was kind of not expecting to find there, but the more you read into it, the more it makes sense when you start putting together all the people that are involved, with it. So, but yeah, this is really the first time I've ever like delved into it.
Oh, I'm excited. So in my house, we weren't allowed to write Xmas. We always had to write Christmas, like Christmas.
Okay.
So that was my experience with that. So I'm excited to hear this because I love hearing new ideas and whatnot. I'm very excited to hear that it's spicy. That's a part I wasn't expecting. I'm excited. I'm curious and excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure after reading through this stuff, I'm pretty sure Kanye West has probably dabbled in Project Bluebeam a little bit. It's got some of his ideology in it now. It was kind of weird. I didn't expect it to go that route, but it does kind of lean into that that ideology. So that was kind of interesting. But yeah, once you start going through everything, it kind of makes sense the why the people that believe in it have this kind of belief. So
all right,
it's pretty interesting.
Okay, it's time. I can't take it any longer.
Okay. All right, so we can get on to it here. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and let's crack open the case. It is File 009, Project Bluebeam. Project Bluebeam. Bailey, have you ever heard about this before? Have you ever like came across it a little bit in your research in the past?
Yes, I've come across it before in passing. My father also gifted me an entire book on Project Bluebeam that I did kind of skim through just to kind of
you know what it was
idea.
Called?
I have it here. Hang on. We're going to take you with me. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm leaving the camera, but taking the recording equipment just so you
Bailey's
guys know.
Heading down to her library.
I'm
her
heading to the Epic Library.
Tomes.
So it is by Dr. J. Allen Hynek, and it's the Hynek UFO Report.
Okay.
And it distills over 12,000 sightings and over 1,400,000 optical official Project Blue Book pages. Super cool. He handed it down to me.
That's Project Blue Book. This is Project Blue Beam. Blue Book we covered at the beginning of the month. Or we covered last month at in The Real Men in Black.
Okay, guys. So in real time, I promise I haven't had a stroke. I take my real estate national exam this week. So my brain, I've been studying like 2 hours a day for like the past 3 days on top of like normal life. So my brain is like a wee fried.
A little different. The Blue Book and Blue Beam. They're a little bit different.
I'm really sorry, guys. But if you like that, that's out there. Okay. So no. I
know Hynek. I mentioned him in the Real Men in Black. So when he brought him up, I was like, I didn't know he really delve into Bluebeam. But that's not the book. So Bluebeam, I don't think you've heard of.
No.
So Bluebeam is a very interesting one. It involves a lot of like global stuff, which I like to do. Those I like to do those conspiracies that kind of have like this global overtone to them. So I think we'll get into it. Now we're going to start here with talking about. An organization I know a lot of people are familiar with. So during World War I, U.S. President Woodrow Wilson and several other major world leaders petitioned for a united global authority to maintain peace. This would become known at the time as the League of Nations, but they would later change their name to the Covenant of the League of Nations, which the covenant part makes me think of the witches anytime someone says covenant. Maybe it's because American Horror Story or whatever, but when I hear covenant, I think witches. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
the Covenant of the League of Nations. I don't know why League of Nations just wasn't just that. It just kept that, had a nice ring to it. LON.
I mean, if you ask certain people, a witch is a pretty good insult. So, I mean, depends on who you're asking.
Yeah.
I don't know. But coven. I like it. I've always thought of that too.
This was formulated following the war during the Paris Peace Conference. And in 1919, with 42 nations, the Covenant of the League of Nations took effect. This ran through the 1920s, but in the 1930s, it experienced a number of failings and resulted in several nations withdrawing from the organization. In 1939, the world found itself at the cusp of the Second World War. The Covenant effectively shut down. So it was very short-lived, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. I mean, they lasted for over about 15 years, I would say, roughly, probably 13 years.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a short-lived thing. It had a lot of people on board, but there's a whole list. If you look into it more, you'll just see where they consistently drop the ball on how they deal with global efforts. So it was a pretty weak effort and didn't really stand out. So in 1939, it disbanded as World War II kicked off. So by 1941, plans were already being moved into place for a new organization, one that would learn from the mistakes of the past in an effort to establish global peace. On New Year's Day, 1942, representatives of the four powers, these four powers were the major allied countries, which were the United States, the United Kingdom, the Soviet Union, and the Republic of China. They all met to sign the Declaration of the United Nations. And the next day, 22 other nations signed as well. I thought that was pretty cool. On New Year's Day, they all met to do it. I thought that was kind of a cool little showing of change and renewal. I thought it was kind of neat.
That's sweet.
They chose that day.
It would have been super cute if they like met at midnight and like, you know, Like, we're going into the
signed at 1201.
Signed at 1201. Yeah. I would have loved it. Because, you know, you always see the Instagram influencers that are like, kiss me while it's 1159. And that way we go into the new year together. I mean, I haven't asked to do that. Don't know.
You follow a lot different Instagrammers than I do.
I aspire to be an influencer, but don't want to put any of that work into it.
So the next day, 22 other nations signed as well. Collectively, these allies became known as the United Nations, with a joint effort in declaring war on the Axis powers. So that was basically, there was, you know, several things you had to do to join the United Nations. Well, the main things was, once you signed up, you effectively declared war on the Axis powers.
Oh,
so
my.
To be a part of the UN, you had to declare war on the Axis.
So I feel like that's kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Contradiction, or that kind of contradicts themselves, because it's like, aren't you supposed to be? Well, I don't know enough about the Axis powers. Let me preface that.
They're evil. They're pretty evil.
Okay.
So basically what they were saying is, like, either you're with us or you're against us, is kind of like what United Nations was doing, which can be looked at in a, you know, as a wrong thing to do. But at the time, they were fighting the Axis powers, which were pretty big group of just evil people.
Okay.
But basically that's what they were doing. They were saying, like, either you're with us or you're against us. And if you sign up with us, you have to be against the Axis powers. So to be able to be part of the United Nations, you had to declare war on the Axis powers. So by 1945, 51 nations were represented by the UN. 1946 saw the first General Assembly meeting and debates on international topics. They also, I think later in that year, founded the UN headquarters, which is in New York. And that area where it is considered international ground. So no one, it's that portion, that building is owned by all the countries within the UN, basically. So, since its founding, the UN, its mission statement was maintain international peace and security, protect human rights, deliver humanitarian aid, and support sustainable development and climate action. Despite all the pitfalls and shortcomings of the UN, it would be hard for anyone to deny that global peace and unity is a wonderful concept. Mm-hmm. I mean, right? Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, to some, not so much. The fundamental idea, but rather the, not so much the idea of peace, but the organization, a lot of people kind of are kind of uncomfortable by.
Yeah.
So how much do you know about the Bible?
A lot.
A lot.
Well, probably not, like.
We're talking about the Bible, like the Christian Bible.
Okay, so then, like. I know.
Confused with the Quran or anything.
Like, okay, wait a minute. Which Bible are we talking about? It's older New Testament, because I know.
I don't know.
More. Okay, then probably a moderate. Probably a moderate amount. Then.
Yeah. I don't even own a Bible. I don't know.
You don't own a Bible.
I'm pretty open about my feelings for organized religion, but no, I don't own a Bible. I don't care to own one.
Yeah.
You support whatever you want. I don't think anyone should be judged for their beliefs, but yes. Just not my cup of tea.
Yeah. No.
But I don't own one. I know a little bit about the Bible. I was like pretty heavy into religion after high school. I got into Christianity, so I was doing that for a little bit. But that's pretty much it. Not too much beyond that. I know kind of like base level stuff on the Bible, all the highlights, hits, stuff. I learned a lot about conspiracy theories, because the Bible is a hotbed for conspiracy stuff.
Oh my God, so. Yeah. We were just watching Ancient Aliens the other night, and it brought up the Bible, and I'm like, okay, that's another Bible one. Okay. I mean, find
Jesus was an alien.
Yeah, Jesus was an alien. I don't know. The disciples were all aliens and whatnot.
Could be 12 different alien species.
12 different alien species that the devil actually came from, lizard people. That's one that I can't wait to cover. I'm excited.
Oh, I cannot wait for that. I love reptilian stuff, but we're gonna get off topic if we get into that.
I know. Where were we going with this? Yeah, Bible. Okay.
So yeah, what do you know about the Bible? Yeah.
Yeah, not a whole lot. I know more about the Old Testament than the New Testament. I mean, but ultimately, like, I'm pagan, so most of the Bible that I know is, like, stuff that has been thrown at me that I've had to go back in and, like, research and be like, no, it actually says this. Yeah. So, and that's putting it in a really kind of bratty format to put it, PG. but no, like, I mean, I own a Bible. My dad gave it to me. My parents are, you know, both very religious. So, and you know, most family and all that. I don't mean they understand. Like they do them. I do me.
Oh yeah, sure. Great. As long as they don't respect your own beliefs, I think it's fine.
Yeah,
I believe whatever you want. I don't care.
As long as you're not hurting anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you can do whatever you want.
For sure. So, in the Bible, specifically the Gospel of Daniel, there's mention of four great beasts. Now, if you remember right, just a few minutes ago, we talked about the UN, where we talked about the four powers. Mm-hmm. That's what they call themselves. So, Daniel 7:23, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the earth whole, and trample it down, and break it to pieces. This fourth beast is described as having 10 horns, which represent 10 kings, that will make war with the saints and prevail over them. Hmm. This beast is once again discussed in the book of Revelations, arguably the most metal book in the Bible. Revelations 13:1, I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads. There were 10 crowns on his horns. On each head was an evil name that was displeasing to God. You see, some people draw comparison to these passages and the formation of the UN. The 10 horns are often compared to 10 nations united and controlled together by the Antichrist. That's what a lot of people believe. Many people also draw comparisons to another story in the Bible. This one I'm kind of familiar with. Now, a lot of people say, you know, not the UN or even the Covenant of the League of Nations are mankind's first attempt at global unification, but rather the story of the Tower of Babel. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. You know, the Tower of Babel.
Heard of it. Heard the name, I mean. Like, very unfamiliar.
So, the Tower of Babel was a massive tower to be erected by a congregation of humanity to defy God.
Oh.
This was after the flood. So people weren't too happy with God. He even wiped out a lot of people in this flood. Not all people were happy about it. So in retaliation, they decided they were going to build this tower to reach heaven so they could be independent. They don't need God to get to heaven. They could just go to heaven. Yeah. Just climb this tower and go there. Yeah. So God, in defiance, he confused the language of man into different dialects so they could not communicate. So that's where, biblically, that's where all of the different dialects and language comes from. It's from the Bible. It's why we have different people speaking different languages. Mm-hmm. So it was to keep everyone from working together to build this tower to heaven. Mm. Is the UN less about uniting everyone in world peace, or more about global control, is what a lot of people question? That's what kind of stings a lot of people the wrong way, is that maybe it's not so much about unifying us to be peaceful, but unifying us to be controlled. And if so, is it all led by, you know, the greatest evil of all, the Antichrist? For sure, one man in particular believed that to be the case. Born in 1945, French-Canadian Sergei Monast. I think so. You pronounce the name Monast. Monast.
You were very confident about it, so I'm going to believe you.
Sergei Monast. Yeah,
Monast.
Monast.
Okay.
Monast. Maybe.
I think you got it.
Yeah, Monast. I'm going to call him Sergei because I know for sure how to pronounce that.
There we go.
He was a journalist, a poet, an essayist. He began his career in the 1970s while working with the now defunct Canadian political party, the Social Credit Party of Canada. The title most commonly associated with Sergei, though, is conspiracy theorist.
Oh, what did he do? What did he get too close to?
He founded the International Free Press Agency, where he published his own writings about various paranormal things, your typical conspiracy stuff, aliens, UFOs, whatnot. Mm-hmm. A lot of Sergei's writings were influenced by another prolific conspiracy theorist and a very controversial conspiracy theorist. His name is William James Guy Carr. Four names. William, James, Guy, Carr.
I mean, if you can't pick one, just get all four. Like,
yeah, I always thought it was weird when people like use their full name. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Are you? I don't know. I always found it weird. You know, I'm Ty Alexander. I don't need to be Ty Jacob Alexander. I think yeah. people will get it. I don't think there's any other Bruce Campbell podcast.
I think of Tyler as your formal name. Like, I only call
Tyler?
You. Yeah, I think of Tyler as your formal name. Like, no, yeah. that's Ty.
Yeah.
Or in my Ty. Or in my phone as Pod God Ty. So
that's more accurate. Yeah. I'll get that legally changed over at some point.
Oh, gosh.
Now, Carr was a former high-ranking naval officer for Canada, and he believed an organization of global elite were plotting to ignite World War III. In his book, Pawns of the Game, he detailed three scenarios where this could happen, and that he had come into possession of a report that the Canadian Intelligence Service, which is, you know, of course, the Canadian version of the CIA, mm-hmm. they had obtained a copy of a speech by Rabbi Emanuel Rabinovich, that'd be what it is. As noted earlier, William James Guy Carr is considered a prolific face in the world of conspiracies, but also controversial, as many of his beliefs do carry a certain racial and anti-Semitic rhetoric. The report that he claimed to have had allegedly stated that in 1952, Rabinovich claimed that within 5 years, again, this report came out in 1952, mm-hmm. World War III would be in full swing, and there would be no more whites and no more religion. That was the goal of the rabbi and his people, were to ignite World War III and wipe out white people and religion. So claims William James Guy Carr. Now, this report, however, has never came to be, or there's no one to really back up this supposed report that he came into possession of. Now, Carr is considered to be the father of the idea of the American Illuminati. He's basically the guy who came up with that concept. You know, what we popularly know as the Illuminati, that is all the brainchild of William James Carr. Or at least he popularized it and kind of made it what it is today.
Right.
And he was also accused, and imagine this, he was accused of maybe being a little bit anti-Semitic. So, which, yeah, he does have a lot of things. He does hold a lot of ill will toward the Jewish people. His beliefs, not mine.
Yeah.
And he led a very pro-Christian, anti-Jewish campaign where he would implore his followers, he would tell his followers, people who wish to remain free can follow only one plan of action. They must support Christianity against all forms of atheism and secularism. So he's saying the only way you can truly remain free is if you fully back Christianity and everything that Christianity is. Hmm. That's the only way you can have freedom. So this is the man that we now know is one of the main influences of Sergei Monast, and a driving force in him basically declaring war on the New World Order. The New World Order is the name that Carr gave to this shadow government, this group of elites. Mm-hmm. He called them the New World Order, which is the name you still hear a lot of. I mean, it's the stuff that Carr came up with, as controversial as some of his stuff was, it's still very popular today. And I don't think a lot of people know like the backstory of it all. Like mm-hmm. the New World Order and all that. Basically, he was implying that the New World Order was Jews. That's what he was implying. And I don't think a lot of people understand that when they like go on these tirades about the New World Order, is that they're supporting this guy's beliefs that the Jewish people are controlling the world and basically the root of all evil. That's what he perpetrated. So I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize when they, you know, go off and talk about the New World Order.
Well, I mean, like I said, it happens all the time, like with words and whatnot. Like, I mean, people like, I don't know, the mass majority, I suppose, like just decide what one meaning is going to be one day and then the next, like it's totally okay or it's totally like unusable. Like you can't do it.
Right.
like, I can't tell you how many things like I have said on this podcast where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for this. But and I mean, it's just, and a lot of that I think can be attributed to like people don't know the past behind it, or, you know, it's selective and they don't care about the past behind it, because what the pretty flowery wording is, or, you know, yeah, what the wording is matches the thing that I want it to be. So,
right.
So, yeah, so I could see that. Like, it's, yeah, people talking about the New World Order and whatnot. Like, you need to go read.
Research. Do your research.
Please.
Because, like I said, I think that a lot of the stuff that Carr, a lot of his beliefs and his preachings and his ideology is stuff that I would almost bet money that Kanye West in his current, you know, mental state is. I bet he's read a lot into James, into Carr, because a lot of what he says that you can find online that he's saying is stuff that Carr perpetrated or, you know, proposed to be true. So I'd almost bet money that Kanye West is a fan of Carr, either directly or indirectly.
Interesting. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't looked that much into Kanye West. I'm not the biggest fan of him. However, like, I did see where he called Gigi Hadid a reptile lady or something like that. And I had a good giggle because I was like, what is he doing? like, you're calling a supermodel a reptile.
I almost feel like Kanye West could be an episode of Cult Talks Conspiracy, which I might have to like, dip my toes into. That would be interesting.
I don't know if my heart can take it, Ty. I don't know if we have enough red yarn. I don't know if we have enough wall space. I don't know. You've got me questioning that one.
That'd be interesting.
We're going to have... Oh, that would be nice. I've got ideas now. Oh, shit. We're going to have to do it. Fuck.
So throughout the 1990s, Monast would write about the puppeteering of the global economy and society by the secret elite. He famously would appear on famed ufologist Richard Glenn's TV show, Esoterisme Expérimental. It's French, where he repeatedly warned the viewers to beware of the formation of the world government. Now, when you look at stuff from this TV appearance, it's all in French Canadian, so I didn't know anything about it, didn't understand it. But he does keep telling people to beware of the government. That's kind of his thing. He keeps like looking at people, telling the viewers beware of this. Now, what he looks like every conspiracy theorist you've ever imagined in your head. Like, it's insane. He I imagine when a lot of people poke fun at conspiracy theorists or like draw caricatures of conspiracy theorists, they're drawing Sergei Monast, because he looks just this fat disheveled guy with a scruffy beard. He's wearing like a one of those fisherman vests, you know, with all the pockets on it.
Yeah.
Wearing one of those. Just crazy eyed. I mean, he looks like what you imagine a conspiracy theorist is. It's pretty wild. When I seen him, I got in my head every like cartoon or comic or you know, skit I ever saw about conspiracy theorists, and they are definitely basing this on Sergei Monast, because he looks like every cartoon of conspiracy theorists.
Oh man.
So in 1994, he would publish what would become, I think, what most people would consider his most famous work. This was called Project Bluebeam, and then he had parentheticals, NASA, after it. So it was Project Bluebeam, parenthetical, NASA. That was what it was called. He published that in 1994.
Did NASA have a hand in this?
They do. They do.
Okay.
Supposedly. Here, Sergei detailed an elaborate plan that the New World Order was concocting. It is believed this project was born from the United States government's alleged research into highly advanced cloaking technology, commonly known as the Philadelphia Experiment. Now, Bailey, have you ever heard of the Philadelphia Experiment?
No.
Okay. So I didn't want to go too deep into it because it's its own thing. I don't know. It might be good for its own episode. Mm-hmm. So basically, the Philadelphia Experiment is a supposed experiment the U.S. government did, where they were trying to test out basically highly advanced stealth technology. Basically, what they wanted to do was they wanted to turn a warship invisible. So as the theory goes, they were basically just subjecting these people to, these soldiers, to horrendous experiments with sort of secret technology. And they somehow, at one point, turned a warship invisible for like a split second. And like, it was a very short amount of time. It like went invisible, and when it came back, people were like exploded. What? There was guys stuck in walls, melted to the ship itself. There was people unaccounted for, just body parts everywhere. And that's called the Philadelphia Experiment. It's just a conspiracy. I've kind of poked at it a little bit in the past. I've read about it. I've watched a movie called The Philadelphia Experiment, which was not as, you know, didn't really go into that whole part of it. But there is that. That's basically the Philadelphia Experiment. We were trying to play with this highly advanced cloaking technology. Sure. Now, Sergei, he didn't, in his book, he didn't claim that's where the origin of Blue Beam originated from, but rather that's just an idea that was popularized after its publication. So after it came out, people kind of started to take their own liberties and claim that's where it came from, was originated from the Philadelphia Experiment. So the world government had begun to take interest and research on the limits of visual manipulation. The early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, saw major advancements in the realm of computer-generated imagery and film. And Sergei believed that there was more nefarious advancements that the world government had to their disposal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the 90s, late 80s, you had things like Tron that came out. You had things like Toy Story, Jurassic Park, Terminator 2. Like, these movies that came out like blew people's mind because of this highly advanced, this computer-generated technology we'd never seen before. I mean, as a kid, I remember watching Jurassic Park and my mind blown.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing Terminator 2, like seeing the seeing Robert Patrick, you know, melt into liquid metal. Like, blew my mind as a kid.
Still blows my mind. So, like,
Yeah, it's really great effect. Really, these effects hold up. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the Toy Story trailer. I saw it on TV. I was 5 or 6 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, I was at my grandparents, I like recorded the commercial on a VHS.
Aww.
So just the commercial. And I remember I would like go in my little playroom I had, and I would like watch that trailer over and over and over. Like, I'd watch trailer, rewind it, watch trailer, rewind it. Cause I could not comprehend what I was seeing. Like, I was like so flabbergasted by this animation on TV. I remember that very vividly. He's having this VHS tape, and all it had was the trailer for Toy Story on the TV, the 30, 45 second trailer for it.
Oh my gosh. That doesn't shock me watching at all. It. I mean, yeah. It's so adorable. I just love that you were 5 or 6 years old and already knew how to record VHS tapes.
Oh yeah, I knew. Oh my gosh, I was a fiend at that. I had so many movies recorded off TV. I knew how to do that. I would pop it in, record it. You know, I used to know how to use TV Guide. I'd get on there, I'd find like the shitty like movies, like even as a young age, I was watching, you know, The Blob and things like that, and like recording them on VHS and just having these VHS tapes of shitty horror movies and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Very young age this whole started.
I just learned not too long ago how TV Guide actually worked. Like that you would get like a new thing in the mail.
Oh yeah.
Like I just learned that not too long ago. And I came out from under the rock eventually, guys. Like, it happened. This is what happens. So
we didn't get a TV Guide. We had, like, the Gazette. And it would, I think every Sunday, it would be, like, the big issue of the Gazette on Sundays. It would come with a week TV Guide thing. It'd come with basically, like, a printed page of, like, all the channels and, you know, what was going to be on for the week. So I would get that, and I would go to Sci-Fi and USA and TNT, like the channels I knew had these movies on. I would like find them, I'd highlight them, and I knew like, okay, at, you know, 10 p.m. on Saturday, Mosquito is going to be on USA. So I got to be up. I got to set the VCR to record that and record it. All at, you know, 9 p.m., Saturday night, Python is on Sci-Fi. Okay, I gotta get up, record that. It was, yeah, I had that stuff down to a science. I had like a massive recorded VHS collection of just shitty horror movies.
Oh, man.
I have high-end Blu-rays of shitty horror movies.
Specifically of Mario Brothers. Specifically.
Yeah.
Lots of those.
Well, I don't have a Blu-ray of that yet. The Blu-ray on that only got released in the UK.
Oh, no.
I don't have a Region B player, so until I get a Region B player, I can't get Super Mario Brothers on Blu-ray.
We're just going to make it a thing to where, like, Tyler's Mystic Quest to the Blu-ray Mario Brothers. Like, we have UK listeners. We have people
that is, that isn't even my white whale, because I can order that offline anytime if I want to. I can easily obtain that. It's just, you know, the matter of paying for the Region 2 Blu-ray player. But the thing I'm looking for is the variant cover of the Mario Brothers movie where the "it's not a game" is above the title.
Oh,
so if anyone has that, because I have the copy where it's the title and then it's more than a game underneath it. I'm looking for the DVD where you have the "it's more than a game"
specific
above the title. Yeah, it's a variant cover.
We had like a bunch of VHSs of like Disney movies, like the ones that were only on TV. I'm trying to think of it's right on the tip of my tongue and I can't think of it.
I can pull a Mario Brothers movie out at any time. Have one in arm's reach. It's the joy of having a 2-4. This needs to be above there.
Oh my god.
That's the variant.
Like,
but yeah,
he literally just reached behind his like couch and grabbed it. Yeah. Like he's just like right there, like the same place where like people would keep like, you know, something to protect themselves or something. Like Mario Brothers.
Chuck a Mario Brothers, you got him.
I mean, I guess.
They'll be shocked and entertained.
Oh my god.
Yeah, what's your movies? Sorry.
I don't remember. I can't. It's not gonna live up to that. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But like it was just High School Musical movies. Like I remember there was one time my parents actually like scheduled, we were moving across country and actually scheduled for us to be in a hotel by the time that High School Musical 2 came out on Disney. Like it was that big of a deal. So that's where my childhood lies, is Disney movies and Nickelodeon.
Well, this very wholesome conversation kind of derailed the utter terror and shock that is Project Bluebeam. Yeah. So we'll rewind us back to Project Bluebeam, the 1990s, 1980s, massive gains in CGI advancement. I mean, we just talked about how much things like Terminator 2 and Jurassic Park, Toy Story, blew our minds. I mean, that was kind of the way it was in the 90s. Like, I remember being on the cusp of all that, and, you know, a new movie would come out, and it was less about the movie and more about the special effects.
Oh, yeah.
And that was kind of the way it was. That's when you had like the big Hollywood blockbusters became a thing. Like, you know, Independence Day and Armageddon, you know, things like these were like these big effects driven shows basically on TV. On the movie screen, you went there to go see the crazy effects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Sergei, he theorized that, you know, as much as advanced as those were, the government had far more advanced capabilities at their disposal. Mm-hmm. Using satellites orbiting the Earth, the New World Order had technology that would simultaneously beam the image of Jesus Christ to the entire globe. It was the plan. Project Bluebeam entailed the government, the New World Order, to basically surround the world, at this time, satellites were pretty common. Mm-hmm. There was already a ton of satellites in the sky. So Sergei thought that what would happen was that they would use these satellites and this advanced technology they had to beam an image of Jesus Christ across the entire globe. So no matter where you were, Nepal, Australia, you know, Idaho, Alaska, wherever, you would look in the sky and there you would see Jesus Christ. And this would be, with the help of NASA, this would simulate the second coming of Christ and unite all the world population under Christianity. With the world united under the Christian belief, it would allow the New World Order to use this technology to manipulate people into a single dictatorship. And who would sit atop this dictatorship? The Antichrist. It is believed that in the years following the publication of Project Bluebeam, that there have been tests or maybe even failed attempts at initiating the Bluebeam technology. I think one of the most compelling pieces of evidence for this, and something I always found very interesting ever since the first time I saw it, there's this video from China. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it everywhere. And it was big news. So early 2016, there's this video that comes out from China of this like city in the sky above China in the fog, in the clouds. You see a city in the clouds. And it's clear as day. It's buildings, it's skyscrapers. It is a legitimate city in the clouds above China. So this comes out, it breaks here. Now, I remember the first time I saw it being blown away. I'd been 25 at the time, and my jaw dropped when I saw it. And this video shows, like I said, a city in the clouds above China. And people in the scientific community, they would dismiss it as a very rare and complex mirage called Fata Morgana, which apparently is super rare, super complex. No one's ever heard of it. How convenient that it was caught on camera. And this would not be an isolated incident. You can actually look online. You can find several pictures and videos of things like this happening where the sky, you'll see clouds, and you'll see a city in the clouds. So many people believe this is the technology that the New World Order has. They're maybe testing it out, or maybe they failed to get the work properly, so it didn't take effect. So that's what many people use as you know, an argument that they're testing this technology out.
That would blow my fucking mind. I need to go look at this video. I can't wait to go look at it.
It's crazy. It is crazy.
I can't wait to go see it. That would... So, Jesus. Ben's listening in the other room, and I go, Jesus, and he starts chuckling. So why are we satellite beaming the image of Jesus? Like, we'll so that we that. Can so, all... Okay.
So Sergey detailed how Bluebeam would operate. Step one, in the weeks, maybe months before the projection, the New World Order would trigger massive earthquakes, which would uncover fake archaeological discoveries. This is to cause humanity to start questioning their beliefs. So basically, they would find like these fake archaeological discoveries. I don't know if they were... I didn't read the book. I'll be honest, I didn't read the book. I was reading articles. I don't know if it was like, oh, we found Christ's bones or something like that. You know, massive, big, impactful archaeological discoveries that would be uncovered in the weeks or months leading up to it. Step two, 3D images of Christ, God, and the holy prophets will be beamed into the sky all across the globe. And the general public at the time, you know, early 90s, they wouldn't know what to think. I mean, this stuff was unfathomable. So this would, of course, cause a lot of people to question their beliefs, be like, oh my God, like atheists and people of other religions. Like, if you all of a sudden see Jesus Christ in the sky and everyone else sees it too, that's going to make you be like, well, maybe this Christianity thing isn't such a crock of shit. Maybe I should get my ass to a church.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to really, that'd be a crazy thing to see. Like, I could not comprehend myself how that would make me feel like to see that, you know. It would be a crazy time. I mean, it'd be a mind-blowing thing to see and make you question a lot. So, step three, this one I thought was really interesting, and it made me want to read the book because I want to know more about this step. Because there's not a lot of information about it that I found in articles, but it's kind of crazy. Using advanced technology, two-way technology, the Antichrist would be able to electronically control the masses, the thoughts of the masses. So basically, using some kind of two-way communication technology, the Antichrist is going to be able to control our thoughts. Now, step four. They will enact technology to alter the weather, creating devastating storms. They'll crash the economy and even unleash a plague. At this time, humanity is in complete chaos. There's, Jesus Christ in the sky. And, everyone's poor. There's storms hammering us, constantly. Everybody's sick. Well, we have no other choice at this point but to turn and look to the Antichrist and the New World Order as our only salvation.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan, basically. That's the idea. This is to, just shock everyone and break everyone down to where they have nowhere else to look but the New World Order. And at that time, the New World Order can then enact their, singular dictatorship where the Antichrist is the end-all be-all. He's the king, he's the president, he's the one and only ruler, and everyone else is subservient to him.
Oof.
Now, I did find an alternate kind of theory to how this would all play out. There was a idea that maybe instead of using it to simulate a second coming of Christ, they would instead use the technology to simulate an alien invasion. Ooh. And basically do the same thing. An alien invasion, the world has to band together to combat the aliens, and then we're all under one control and kind of the same thing. We all become subservient. I thought that was interesting.
All very, now, very interesting.
Now, some people believe that Project Bluebeam is in its final stages and could begin operation at any time, basically.
I don't like
people
that.
People really believe. Yeah.
I don't like that. That does not make my soul happy. No. I need to be dead. And gone, lived a full life, had grandkids, dead and gone before this stuff can happen, because then it becomes scary.
Yes. Well, luckily enough, the man who supposedly warned us all of Project Bluebeam will not have to bear witness to it. In December of 1996, Sergei Monast suffered a heart attack at the age of 51 in his home and passed away. His work still influences popular conspiracies today. And followers of Sergei believe his death to be suspicious.
Ah, I knew it.
the night before, I couldn't find much information on this, but the night before he passed away, he had gotten arrested for something and spent the night in jail. I don't know what it was. I couldn't find anything about what the charge was, but he had gotten arrested. He spent the night in jail. He got released. The next day, he goes home, has a heart attack, dies.
He got suicided.
So a lot of people believe that he was assassinated by a psychotronic weapon. Don't know what that is. Sounds fancy.
Psychotronic weapon. What?
Psychotronic weapon. I have no idea what that is. I don't even know what the term psychotronic means. I probably should look that up before this recording, but I'm not sure what psychotronic means.
Psychotronic.
And they believe that it was done to keep him from looking further into the New World Order. So basically, he was getting too close to the getting too close to the truth, and they had to take care of him by psychotronically assassinating him, I guess.
There was no other way. He knew too much. He knew too much.
Yep. And that was Project Bluebeam. I found a couple interesting things I want to throw at the end. One, talking about the religious, the religious hesitation toward the New World, the United Nations, mm-hmm. and the New World Order. When the UN was formed, Mormons? Mm-hmm. The Mormons, they still renounce the United Nations
as
a concept. I believe it's the Mormons. Could be wrong on that. If you like United Nations, I apologize. I'm pretty sure it's the Mormons. They basically disavowed the idea of the United Nations. And have you ever seen the movie Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson?
I've never seen. I don't see movies.
All right, yeah. I was hoping it might have been one of the five, but no, I guess not.
It wasn't. It's not a Disney movie. It wasn't one of the five. I'm sorry.
Jesus. But Conspiracy Theories, a Mel Gibson movie.
Now I'm going to watch it.
I've seen it one time. I really want to watch it again because I didn't like it when I was a kid because you I really want to watch it again, but people believe, now this isn't anything you'll find, no one said it, the writer hasn't said it or anything like that, but people believe that the main character of Mel Gibson is based off of Sergei Monast.
Oh, no, I want to
parallel. So people believe that to be the case there.
I mean, you had me at the title. You grabbed me with Mel Gibson, and now all of it, I'm like, yeah, well, that's going on the list. We need to do like a movie day up.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. Yes. We should do like a movie episode of Cult Talk Conspiracy sometime. I think just to kind of test the waters. That'd be a fun one to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was Project Bluebeam.
From what I could find. I almost said I love it, but then I was like, never mind. Don't love it. Don't love all of it. So I'm still stuck on the satellite vision of Jesus. Not that it's a bad thing. I mean, Jesus was wonderful. He did great things. So we've read. My thing is like the people who like don't know who Jesus is, like, how are you going to like, you know,
well, that would be a way to convert them, I guess. Yeah. I imagine. Cause, I mean, if you see all of humanity is seeing this one being in the sky, you got to obviously honestly think that it's a powerful being. Now I do want to bring this up, cause I don't want anyone to like, you know, tag me on this or, you know, be upset that I didn't mention it. So, Sergei Monast is credited for the origins of the Project Bluebeam, but he may not be the one who came up with the concept.
Oh,
now Gene Roddenberry. Do you know who Gene Roddenberry is? He is the creator of Star Trek. So Gene Roddenberry.
Oh, my dad's gonna be so mad. Oh, he's so angry right now. Oh, I felt that one go up my spine.
Gene Roddenberry, he, you know, the original Star Trek series with, you know, Kirk and Spock. Mm-hmm. Now it spawned movies. Yeah, Star Trek the Motion Picture. I think there was like 5 or 6 movies of that in that continuity. So he had originally wrote a script for one of the films called The God Thing.
Oh,
now later in the Star Trek movies, they do explore like the origins of God and creation and all that stuff. Well, the script he had called The God Thing was supposed to be basically a similar concept of what Project Bluebeam would be. Mm-hmm. The God Thing basically told the story of an alien being coming to Earth and claiming to be God. And he would, you know, basically take control of the Earth, and then the Star Trek crew have to come and stop him, basically have to reveal his plot. Cause, you know, he's just an alien. He comes to Earth and, you know, has, you know, I guess, advanced powers. A very similar plot to a film called Assault on Dome 4 is what it's called. Assault on Dome 4. And it has Bruce Campbell in it, and he's the villain. And his whole character-driven plot is that they have discovered a planet of these, like, subhumans, mm-hmm. who are like are basically like early evolutionary humans.
Oh my gosh.
But they're following the same evolutionary track as humans, but they're just not advanced yet. So his villainous plot was that he was going to go to this planet, and, you know, because he's a human, he's like advanced and has technology and guns, he was going to basically come there and proclaim to be their god and shape the world in his image. It's kind of a similar thing to that.
Bad, Bruce.
But so the God Thing that Gene Roddenberry wrote, that's kind of the same concept as Project Bluebeam, is that this alien with advanced technology and advanced capabilities comes to Earth, claims to be God, and unites the world, but it has its the whole purpose is just to control the entire world. So he wrote that, and it never got made into a movie. He was going to publish it into like a Star Trek novel, but it never got published. He claimed, and I mean, I don't know if he had, it sounded a little like iffy the way he put it. He said it didn't get published because it dealt with God and it conflicted with the beliefs of people at the studio. So I don't know if he was maybe implying there was some, I don't know, some very,
discrimination,
car-esque things going on there. But, I don't know if that's what he's implying. I don't know if Gene Roddenberry is that way, but it just sounded that way to me. But he It never got made into anything, but it was one of those things that got circulated amongst like Star Trek fans and science fiction fans. Because from what I understand, it's a very good story. It deals very a lot with, you know, control and, you know, creation and desire to find your creator and all that. So that was what many people have kind of cited as like he stole this concept from Gene Roddenberry.
Oh.
And I guess there's also a script for Star Trek, A New Generation or Next Generation, that is also similar as well, that people kind of also say that Monos maybe got the idea from that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder, I don't know, because I never like to think that like someone like stole another idea from the next. I wonder if it was maybe like more inspired, because I definitely think that.
I would say inspired, yeah. Because I mean, as much as it is, he doesn't say like, because I mean, that could be a whole conspiracy itself. You know, an alien comes to Earth and, you know, is it, that would be a good movie, actually. God comes back to Earth and is it God or an alien? That's an interesting, plot. Might have to hop on that. Me and Eric have to write that.
Hey!
Yeah, or you can write it too. I guess we have a female perspective.
Oh, yeah. Female.
Cast
female.
Amy Schumer in it or whatever.
Oh.
But yeah, it's that's a very interesting concept itself. But yeah, so I mean, I think that his idea of it is different enough to not say he stole it from Gene Roddenberry.
Yeah.
It's, you know, two separate things, I feel like.
Well, I mean, I think if you did that, you could probably say that he got. Also, probably on the same level, I'm going to go ahead and say that he got the same level of inspiration from the Bible. Because there's a lot of like biblical references in this. Like, I mean, especially with like step three, like the first thing that I thought of when you said that a tech with like a two-way transmission with the Antichrist with and it would consume like the thought of the masses. The first thing that I thought of was, and the meek shall inherit the earth. So
yeah,
it's like, you can make that correlation there. So I don't know. I think he's pulling, I mean, from like any, I don't know, I guess from one conspiracy theorist to the next, you're pulling from like a lot of different theories and,
yeah,
you know, pulling it all together into making, you know, sense.
Which is a thing that, you know, I have noticed in like just doing the research for Cult Talk Conspiracy. You know, even with this, you know, I touch on the Philadelphia Experiment and the New World Order and things like that, because a lot of conspiracies do kind of just run parallels with each other. You know, writing Men in Black, there was a lot of different things with, you know, Roswell and the Mothman and things like that. I mean, a lot of these conspiracies do run parallels with each other. And two, I mean, religion is a powerful thing. I think that, you know, say what you will about Christianity, but I mean, it's a very viable business. Anything else, I mean, that's a very viable business. I mean, you can only imagine the amount of money that those churches and organizations pull in. I mean, it's a lot of power over people. A lot of people or they shape their entire lives around the belief that's in this book. So if you're able to harness that on a global scale, you can do whatever you want. I mean, I would think that, you know, Christianity being as it is, that, you know, as many fanatics, things like that, it would probably be a very, I think it'd be kind of a bad idea to try to harness that religion. I feel like it'd be better to like create your own.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if, you know, Jesus comes and, you know, says, hey, I'm real, there's going to be a lot of people that turn their heads on some of the more maybe not so nice parts of the Bible and start acting those out. And that's scary. But I feel like, you know, if this was a ploy by the New World Order, they would just kind of do their own religion.
Yeah. I mean, they would have a big enough platform, obviously, being the New World Order and everything. I mean, if you're like, it would be, and here we go. So, if like the New World Order wanted to like instate a politician in a certain area and they're like, oh, well, I'm this new religion and whatnot. And, you know, this is what I do and everything. Because, you know, if like normal Joe Schmo did that, it would get painted like a cultist or, you know, like a, you know, something crazy. But if you have this person of stature coming up and doing it, like it, like it definitely probably would have been a little, probably more, a lot more work, actually. But yeah. I mean, it could be done. It could be done.
Yeah, because I do. At the end of the day, I guess, you know, Jesus, you know, Christ is a very familiar iconography. I mean, everyone knows what Jesus supposedly looks like. You know, the Americanized, you know, whitewashed version of Jesus Christ
is everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, I imagine if that popped up in the sky, like that just, you know, white, long-haired, bearded, you know, guy popped in the sky and said, I'm Jesus Christ, that would really fuck with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think that'd be a wild thing. I don't think it would go as smoothly as maybe Sergei Monosov laid out in his book. I think there'd still be a lot of retention. Even on the side of Christianity, I feel like a lot of Christians would probably even be apprehensive about the idea of it, because I'm pretty sure like the second coming is laid out pretty well in the Bible, so they'd have to keep pretty straight to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think anyone who has read Revelations or has done like in-depth conversation about Revelations, like you know how it goes. Like,
right.
You know, it's just that, and it's an easy recipe. But I mean, I would like to think that if I saw like Jesus up in the sky, I would probably think it was like an hallucination. But honestly, let's be real with, you know, my religious background and everything. I'm going to think I'm going to die. And then I'm probably going to have a heart attack and actually die.
Yeah.
But at least for a split second, I think I'm going to heaven. So, but that, and like, I don't know. I want to ask you, what do you think would be worse? The public's reaction to, or like mass reaction, I should say, because we're talking globally here, that the second coming of Christ is coming, or that aliens are real? Which one do you think would cause more of an uproar?
God, I feel like with the Jesus has come kind of thing, it's like everything stops. I feel like everything stops. We're all turned to this one thing. You know, it's like, oh shit, Christianity's real. Mm-hmm. I guess we have one book that tells us how to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would kind of stop. Now, aliens are real. That raises all kinds of questions in like defense and science, you know, scientific progression. The science books, you know, educational reform. There's a lot of things that come into play with if the government was ever to say there's aliens. I think that's a lot of, you know, there's a book I've read. It's Disclosure, Undisclosed, I think what's called, maybe. After Disclosure is what it is. It's a book I have. Now, it talks about, like, what would happen after, the day after the government says, hey, there's aliens. There's religious questions that would get posed. Where do aliens fit in the Bible? Where do aliens fit in, you know, science? Where do aliens fit in, you know, the curriculum of education?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things. So I feel like if they were to say, hey, there's Jesus Christ is kind of already integrated into our lives, whether we want it to be or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would be just a thing. Like, okay, everything stops. Now we know that we just follow this one thing.
Interesting. I would imagine you'd have like a lot of like fights and rioting.
Oh, for sure.
And just like, and just
that's what I mean.
Hysteria.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like too, it'd be like a thing where, I'm right, you're wrong. Like, you know,
yeah,
let's beat up these fucking Muslims because, you know, they're wrong. Like, that's what it'd be. I feel like it would be chaos.
Bro, I gotta hide if that happens. Like, I just said out loud, I'm a pagan. Like, I gotta go fucking hide.
Right.
They're gonna put me up on a stake.
That's what I mean. It would be just chaos. I don't think it would go as smoothly as the New World Order. I think there's a lot of flaws in this plan. I feel like the alien invasion thing, even though it would be a crazier thing, would probably be the easier things. It's like, all right, you know, no matter what you believe, we all have to unite to defeat this common thing. There's a really cool quote by, I think it's Reagan, I think, Ronald Reagan says, you know, he often thinks about what would happen if if our world was under threat by an outside force, how quickly everyone would come together to defeat it, or have to come together to defeat it. I think that's always a weird thing I thought he said, and maybe an implication that, you know, at some point we'll have to unite under a, you know, common threat. But that's just me always reading into that. I found it to be a very interesting comment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. It seems to me to be a flawed idea, a very not well thought out concept. the Project Blue Beam. Yes. But a very scary one, though.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that.
I agree with you on multiple layers there, because I for one thing, I mean, especially kind of with the way the world is now, because... I mean, Ty, you know me. You know that I'm all about peace, flowers, and sunshine. And I just want everyone to get along. And I really do want world peace. But, like, I really think one day, like, we're going to have to all, like, put everything aside and have to come together. I really Right. think ultimately, like, that's what all of this, like, nonsense and negativity and clashing right now is kind of leading up to. It's like, okay, one day, like, we're going to have to come together. I agree with you that it's not... It's not the most sound theory, that's for sure. It's scary as all hell, especially mm-hmm. when you tell me, like, they're ready to do this at any point in time now. Like, yeah, like, right. Jerry's going to go get coffee, and then we're going to end the world. Okay.
Yep. And, I mean, as far as it goes, I mean, I think that on a smaller scale that, you know, politicians and this new world order, if there is a new world order, they've been using, like, the you know, name of Christianity to kind of shape things. Mm-hmm. As they want them anyways. I mean, you all the time see, like, these politicians will use, you know, take the Christianity angle, the religious angle to help their platform. Then in the day, it turns out they don't really represent that at all. Right. It's just an easy way to get to people's hearts. And, you know, Christians that make up a large part of our country. So it's very easy to sway them in that way. You know, not speaking ill on any of our Christian listeners, but there is a certain thing to be said about, you know, using this to, You've really got to look into people. When someone says they're Christian, I remember when I was in church, Tim Tebow was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember my pastor talking about how nervous it made him that Tim Tebow was this, you know, basically represented as a Christian athlete. Because, you know, athletes, especially NFL players, don't have the best record mm-hmm. of keeping themselves clean. So he talked about how nervous it made him that Tim Tebow was such a high-profile Christian athlete. Because the day he messes up, it reflects on the entire, you know, world of Christianity.
Yeah.
And so I think people need to really look into their politicians and those people that use that take that angle. Mm-hmm. Because not everyone is true to that. A lot of people are using that as a thing. And it's a known thing to do at this point, I feel like. Yeah. I mean, it's a publicity thing. Like, well, let's say you're religious. Oh, yeah, say I'm religious. I love the Bible.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, he's a Christian guy.
Yeah, they'll sympathize with me more.
Like, exactly.
You know, like, oh, well, he, you know, and I mean, I don't want to down, like, any true Christian believers and whatnot. No. And, like, I quite frankly find that kind of shit insulting, because that's a religion. Like, that's somebody's, like, life they dedicated themselves to. I've known people in my life Absolutely. Who, you know, have said that, like, Christianity and God, like, saved their lives and have, you know, have proof to back that up. And, like, I believe them. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, just because I'm...
Oh, for sure.
You know, just because I'm different than they are doesn't mean that I don't believe that they believe in their God, you know? And
right.
To the point, it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to pose as a religion that you're not just to get points.
Yes. And I feel like it happens a lot. And I feel like that is, you know, that's kind of the base idea of this Project Blue Beam, is that's the base idea of it on a grand scale. Mm-hmm. Is that the global elite is basically going to try to use the facade of Christianity to, you know, unite the world to be controlled by them. I mean, that's kind of the idea of it. So, I mean, it's, like I said, there's a lot of aspects to it that logistically I don't think make a lot of sense. But it's not a bad concept. I mean, it's definitely something to be worried about. Because, I mean, I think that would be kind of a thing if like, Jesus did come. I mean... I think a lot of people would probably like question that. It's like, is this really the guy, or is this a thing?
If I read tomorrow, if I click on Facebook tomorrow and I see that real Jesus has come back, you bet for damn sure I'm gonna have some fucking questions.
Like, I would hope you found out about it before you went on Facebook. I'd hope you've heard about. Hopefully, you weren't just like, I'm not leaving this until I see
it on Facebook. I'm not leaving. It's got to be Facebook official.
Man. I'm not. Yeah. If I don't see it on Facebook, it's not a thing. I would think you would hear about it from other outlets.
Assuming people aren't banging on my door trying to burn
the steak. I'd imagine maybe. You'd hear it at least on the group chat.
Like
before that, I mean, it'd be one of those things.
I don't know.
But
maybe they'd probably be more welcoming. Like, convert, come with us. And I'd be like, just don't kill me and I'll do whatever you want.
You would hope, you'd hope. Yeah. But then too, that's a way that the New World Order could spin it. They could use it as kind of a genocidal tactic of like,
oh yeah,
I'm Jesus, kill all the non-believers. Like, I mean, it could turn on, if they wanted to like incite the world into war, they could do that.
I mean, they're posing it as the Antichrist. So I mean, that's like, that's the, I mean, it's the literal Antichrist. So, like, I mean, you, like, we literally use that as a verb sometimes. Like, it's, oh my God, it's just pure evil. So, I mean, it could, like, yeah, they could do pure evil shit. But I don't, exactly. I want to know who is manning the Jesus satellite.
NASA.
There's someone at NASA who is.
Which I don't know. NASA's funding got cut pretty bad. So, I don't know if.
Oh, did Jesus satellite monitor get fired?
It might, that might be, I wonder if that position got cut, because I know a lot of NASA stuff got cut. It might be Elon. Elon might be doing it now. It might be a SpaceX project.
Elon's doing it. Elon reinstated the satellite, Jesus. There we go.
It might have got transferred to the SpaceX.
We don't know for sure, but hashtag Elon satellite Jesus.
Yep. Yeah, might be.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so that was Project Bluebeam. And that's an interesting one. If you go down the rabbit hole, just be aware, you will find some very anti-Semitic stuff in there.
Oh,
yeah. Because I was not expecting, especially William James Guy Carr. I think he got his one of Omega's four names mixed around, but Carr, very, very anti-Semitic. I would not even hesitate to say little anti-Semitic. He's very anti-Semitic when you read his stuff. It's very anti-Semitic. And he does, it's interesting to find that he's the father of the Illuminati and like New World Order. Like those are the concepts that he created and popularized. I had never looked into that. So that was cool to kind of throw that in here. I wasn't sure if I was going to get to include too much in it, but I think this was a good way to touch, kind of knock two birds with one stone with the New World Order and the Project Bluebeam.
That's awesome. I had a lot of fun. I was scared. I was enraged. I was, I'm a lot of things right now. I'm very concerned for the satellite Jesus.
I think the main thing to take from this, and this goes with all conspiracies, because Project Bluebeam, it's one of those things too. You can read into it and you can find, oh wow, this is like, it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of also the cautionary tale of it too. Yeah. It's like, don't just take things for face value. I mean, you really got to do your research on stuff. I mean, you know, with anything you read on Facebook, or like you said, politicians who will use they're basically doing the same thing. They're kind of blue beaming themselves by making this projection that they're representative of Christ and they're playing on people's emotions. So, I mean, you got to kind of do your research and, you know, make sure everything's on up and up before you let your emotions get in the way.
Yeah.
Because that's just going to make you easier to control. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You got to, my motto is always try to think first, feel later.
That's
so
good.
Like think of the facts first, think of what's actually happening and what's actually being said. And then you can feel about it later. What's important are the facts.
Right. Yeah. Because there's things in my life too, where I'll like, you know, surface level, I'm like, oh my God, that's fucking awful. Or, yeah, that's fucking great. And then you like read into it, you're like, maybe not.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, it's easy at a surface level, let your emotions be like, oh, yeah, or no. And then you look into it and you can kind of see things make sense and they contradict the way you maybe thought they were. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't take things at face value. I think in today's world, everyone's way too quick to do that kind of stuff. Oh, when they read a story about somebody or, you know, an article, you know, people like to make fun of people on the right for doing that. Mm-hmm. All people on the left do it too. So, I mean, it's just it's a human thing. It's a thing that all of us do.
Yeah.
You gotta be more careful about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And if you see Jesus in the sky, you know, don't jump to conclusions.
Yeah. So. Don't have an automatic heart attack and die like I would.
No, no.
Just, I don't know what
you're doing, to be honest. Project Bluebeam. Project Bluebeam. In the can. File 009, nice. Our last episode of 2022.
Oh my God.
But you aren't going to wait long, because we are dropping a very special New Year's Day episode. That's coming to you Sunday, January 1st. So you don't have to wait a whole week to hear it. You're getting a lot of cult talk conspiracy here lately. I think this will be the fourth episode in a row next week. That'd be the fourth episode in a row. That's crazy. And then you get another episode the week after that. I mean, that's going to be like 5 weeks straight of cult talk conspiracy you've gotten here with File 008, Santa Claus encounters, yes. This New Year's Day special, File 010. It's insane. You get a lot of cult talk conspiracy here at the end of 2022 coming into the beginning of 2023.
It's exciting. We decided to be very giving this holiday season.
We did.
So
it's a busy season for us. It's insane. Like, we come off Cult-tober, which is arguably our busiest month. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of stuff, and we come off that. Call to Campbell was supposed to take a break, and we ended up doing a whole month of Bruce Fest stuff. Yep. We did a Cult Talk Net Thanksgiving Feast.
Yes.
And then we come into Cult Talk Net Christmas.
Yep.
I mean, it's a busy month, busy season, busy last quarter of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So we really kick things into gear. So we hope you guys have enjoyed it all. And for the special that we're doing for January 1st, it's going to be a very different episode, because in our specials, like, do these encounters, we did Men in Black encounters, did Santa Claus encounters. And next, for New Year's Day, we're going to be talking about our own personal encounters with paranormal things.
Yes. I was excited for this one. But then when we got to, like, the actual telling of it, like, I got super nervous. Like, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. So, like, it's fine. But I'm excited to hear what you guys think of that one. That one's, like, super personal for me, at least. I loved that episode. It was awesome. It really, it gives you a taste on, like, how Ty and I got into conspiracy theories and cryptids and just kind of, like, this web of weird and, you know, all these storytellings and creatures and all that. So I'm excited for that one to drop.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. So it's very personal. It was the stuff I was telling there, I've never really told many people outside of a couple of close friends. So, and we tell it to you guys because we love you guys. Yes. The cult talk conspiracy and Cult Talk Net family. So we thank you guys for listening and, you know, being part of all this. But and Bailey, after the New Year's Day special,
yes,
which drops on the 1st,
yes,
the following week we're dropping File 010, and that's gonna be your episode. What are you doing for the first real episode of Cult Talk Conspiracy for 2023?
I have my first three-parter. It is a three-part. I'm very excited. Wow. I was only gonna make it a two-part, but I have decided that I got to do three parts. So we are going to be doing dimensions, the multiverse, and how they coexist with one another. How the dimensions and multiverse run parallel to one another. Very excited. I'm very,
trippy.
Very excited. I cannot wait. Because as I've said in previous episodes, like, I believe in different dimensions. The multiverse is honestly not something I've dug too deep into. And we're not talking about Marvel. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No. But I'm very, very excited because, like, I was talking to Ben about it earlier and he was like, you know, that's just a hole that just keeps going downward and downward and downward. So it's going to be a long one. I'm very excited about it. I'm excited to show you guys a lot of the theories that I found that have swayed my personal beliefs and, you know, want to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, that's going to be a trippy one. I mean, that's some mind-bending shit. Mm-hmm. And like Ben said, it's like one of those rabbit holes. You go down and it's insane. That China video I talk about, the city in the sky, people have also theorized that's like a clipping between dimensions. Like,
that's
saw
literally what my first dimension. Thought was. Was yeah. I wonder if we got like a glimpse into another one. And did they see us? Would be my next question.
Yeah.
Like, did they look down and see another city? Or is that their every day? You know, like, can we not see them? And they were like, ah, shit. Like, somebody forgot to work the shield. Like, fuck. But yeah, I'm very excited. I might look at that a little bit and look at the theories.
You should. I bet it might come up on your research. I bet it'll come up. That's kind of like the other main theory, that is that it was another dimension.
Oh, yeah. We got to touch on it then. Absolutely.
Yeah. But there you guys have it, File 009, the last episode of 2022. Project Bluebeam, we want you let us know what you guys think of the of this theory, and what you think of the simulated second coming of Christ is basically what this is. and the New World Order trying to gain control. I mean, it's a very scary theory. Mm-hmm. Like we said, I think there's some holes that could be punched in it pretty easily, but it is very scary thought, and maybe something that is being acted out today on a much smaller scale, but who knows? That's the fun about conspiracy theories.
Yep, we don't know.
You guys can follow us at Cult Talk Net across the board. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, yes, everywhere. Yeah. At Cult Talk Net. It's very easy. If you can look that up, you'll find us. You can find Cult Talk Conspiracy every other Tuesday right here. You can find Cult Allure every other Thursday. You can find Cult of Campbell on Mondays. And I believe Colter Russell is here. I need to get the schedule for that. I don't know when we debuted Colter Russell on Christmas, so
yes,
I'll have to get back to you guys on when that is.
That is my man.
But there you guys have it. That's the whole gambit of Cult Talk Net. You can find all the information about these shows at Cult Talk Net on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Until next time, you know, I've been Ty.
I've been Bailey.
Question everything.